Hey all, it's your co-host Nick here with Psychedelic Passage, and I want to share what our organization does and how we can help you on your psychedelic healing journey. We originally started Psychedelic Passage to give folks access to psychedelic therapy within the comfort of their own home. And in the process, we realized that most people have no idea what they're looking for in a guide, and they don't know which providers are qualified. The consequences of sitting with an unqualified provider are dire. There are lots of self-proclaimed facilitators out there who simply don't know what they're doing. And unfortunately, facilitator abuse and ethical violations happen regularly in this space and result in lasting psychological impacts. To solve this, we selectively curated a network of providers all over the US who operate with integrity. This allows us to help you as a client by advocating for you and your care without a conflict of interest, screening facilitators on your behalf to ensure they know what they're doing, and holding facilitators accountable for their actions, so you have peace of mind that the provider you're matched with is in good standing. Instead of searching through hundreds of unvetted online provider profiles, you can simply book a call with us, and our concierge team will take into account over 20 different variables to get you matched to a trusted facilitator who can provide treatment in the comfort of your own home. We want to give you the confidence that you're sitting with the right provider for you. No matter where you're at in the psychedelic therapy journey, we're here to help. Simply click the link in the show description below to book a consult and get connected to a trusted provider today.
Welcome to the Psychedelic Passage Podcast. My name is Jimmy Nguyen. Thanks for joining us this week. I am your host today. Really excited to have you all here. It is the first day of spring. And as the season changes from, you know, winter into spring and things start to come alive a little bit more, it's been great because I've been feeling a lot of motivation, I think, around this podcast and the conversations that we have. And just looking forward to watching things grow as the spring season arises. And in turn, I hope that the things that we discuss in this podcast also help and support your growth. So thank you for joining us. Today, we have an episode that was inspired by an individual who has been through our macrodose ceremonial program here at Psychedelic Passage. And about a week or two ago, they had reached out, basically stating that they had been through all of our podcast episodes, had tried to listen, you know, through our materials, had searched for blogs, and they couldn't find an answer to an inquiry that they had around fear and how that informs whether you should move into another psychedelic experience or not. So, first and foremost, thank you to this individual. You know, obviously, due to privacy reasons, I won't be, you know, discussing the specifics and the, you know, ins and outs of that particular person's scenario. However, I realize that it's probably important that we have an episode around this that folks can refer to. And so over the next, you know, little bit of time, probably up to 30 minutes or so, I'll be taking some time to discuss fear in the relation of psychedelic experiences. And then, you know, towards the end, hopefully to give some thoughts and frameworks and tips on anything that might be helpful navigating a decision or choice or something for you. So I'll start by saying that fear is an interesting thing. And if I can just back up a little bit, I would have a conversation about, you know, emotions in general. Now, in the context of psychedelic experiences, I think a lot of goals for folks, whether they realize it or not, is to dictate and control and shift or change the emotions that they feel. So many times folks are like, I'm feeling a certain way, whether it's anxiety or stress or grief or fear, obviously in the context of this episode. And I want those things to go away. And in that place, I just want joy and peace and groundedness and excitement and passion for life. And though I think that that has a lot of merit, I mean, obviously for folks who have been suffering for quite some time, of course you're going to want, you know, relief from the emotions or feelings that have been, you know, plaguing you for so long. However, I would say that if we only view psychedelic work in the lens of what's in this for me, in the lens of, you know, I'm here to banish these emotions that I don't like, that are uncomfortable for me, and I'm interested in bringing in emotions that make me feel better. If we only look at this process through that context, then we're actually limiting ourselves in our ability to what I call come into the right relationship with all of these emotions and feelings. I use an example to kind of get this point across with some of my clients. And what I share is that all of these feelings, emotions are not 100% good. And conversely, they're not all 100% bad. Take fear, for example. Fear can actually be a very, very helpful tool, a tool for survival. Fear can help folks, you know, heighten their nervous system, heighten their senses and potentially dangerous scenarios. Fear can also cause people to think twice or to be a little bit more, I guess, like thoughtful if they have a decision or something coming up. I would say the same thing with nervousness. You know, nervousness can also cause folks to like just take a moment, just take a step to like rethink, you know, through these things. The example that I share also is around anger and rage. Generally in our society, we try to tamp these things down. We say, hey, it's not okay to express anger and rage. Well, what if somebody crossed your boundary? What if somebody physically assaulted you? What if somebody harmed you in some type of way? Well, in those contexts, I would say that anger and rage are probably likely very important. And likely so, anger and rage would probably lead to, hopefully, a pathway where you are protecting yourself or reestablishing, you know, your boundaries. So, you know, I'm first breaking this down to say that these emotions are not all absolutely bad or absolutely good. I think that it depends upon the context of which these emotions and feelings show up in your life. So what I'm speaking to here is really about more about how to find the right balance with any of these emotions and feelings that might arise. Now, there are some emotions and feelings that are just sticky, right? They just show up. They're just present. You know, one of the philosophies of work that I really believe in as it pertains to psychedelic experience is that, you know, every single person has somewhat of an emotional home. It's the default emotions that you are the most comfortable with, you're the most experienced with, regardless of whether it serves you or not. And this is the place that you continue to return back to. So for some people, it's grief and sadness and feeling like a victim. For some people, their emotional home is rage and anger. For some people, their emotional home is calm. I love those people, by the way. I also love people who just express their emotions anyways. So I don't want to caveat that there are, you know, obviously in the context of this conversation, I don't want to say that there's emotions that I favor over others when I'm speaking about, really about how all of these emotions, when in the right context, when in the right balance, can actually be great teachers. I think oftentimes when there is an expression of an emotion, certainly around when that emotion is likely attributed to some type of pain or suffering, it's usually an indicator that there's something going on there. You hurt and you tweak your knee, as an example, and your knee is a little bit messed up. And for the next week, you're kind of walking around a little bit more softly on it because of the pain, because it hurts. You're putting less pressure on it. You're resting. You are icing your knee, right? that pain is actually an indicator that you need to take care of your knee more. If you take that same parallel to emotions, then what I share is that emotions can actually be an indicator of the things that may need a little bit of healing, that may need a little bit of addressing. So I hope that's helpful to start in this conversation, just to generally talk about, you know, emotions and how I view things and how they may play into a psychedelic experience. Now, you've also heard us say on this episode, or episodes of this podcast in the past, that typically when folks are moving into a psychedelic experience, usually shit just gets stirred up for them. Usually things just get stirred up, meaning that non-amplifier effect that we've talked about so much in this podcast, I believe starts to happen even before you start to ingest or consume the psychedelic substance itself. And so this creates an interesting conundrum, because if you are maybe considering moving into a psychedelic experience and you're deciding whether you're going to make that commitment of time and energy and likely some money and, you know, whatnot, and then fear and all of these latent feelings and emotions are coming up, then it actually becomes very difficult to tell if this is something that's just a normal course of preparing for a psychedelic experience, if this fear is indicating a level of caution or protection, or like, oh, maybe I shouldn't, you know, step into this. And it can be really hard to decipher, you know, for folks what the role of fear, as the example that we're using in this episode, how it plays into making the right decision for yourself. So that's a tricky place for folks to be in, because there can often be somewhat of a little bit of like an internal like tug of war. I think for many folks, they may feel a nudge or a calling or an intuitive, you know, reason to want to explore, you know, psychedelics, whether it's your first time or a follow-up or you're extremely seasoned, right? Like, I recently had a birthday and had decided to have a mushroom journey on my birthday. And I've probably had over 100 plus psilocybin experiences, and I still was feeling nervous and fearful. So this isn't something that you all of a sudden master and overcome. What I'm sharing with you is that you're a human. It's normal to feel fear and to feel nervous. Now, how do you decipher whether that is some type of an indicator on whether you should move forward in a psychedelic experience or not? So let me share a couple more things before we dive into, you know, that aspect. I think that in the context of the query that this wonderful individual had reached out about, and by the way, we ended up, you know, getting into a call and chatting, you know, for an hour and through, you know, a couple of things. And one of the things that came to my mind was really thinking about, okay, it's not just about the emotion and the feeling that is present for me. It's also about how it shows up in my life. And I think that when it comes to some of these more, I would call like potent emotions, emotional states, the ones that can get really big, the ones that garner a lot of power, especially with, let's say, fear, also I would say anger, rage, you know, these types of emotions, ultimately they show up in your life in a lot of different ways. And what I would imagine is that if somebody is, you know, addressing fear, or, you know, maybe they have had a traumatic life event that has initiated a fear response, or initiated some type of a phobia, or initiated some type of a, you know, a nervous system response, you know, related to fear, then likely that fear has been dictating their lives in some ways more than they realize, or what I would say, whether they realize it or not. I'm reminded of a really great analogy that I think comes from the book, The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. And he was, you know, describing this kind of like theoretical analogy of, you know, imagining there's a young child, maybe like 8, 10 years old or something like that. I think in the example of the book, they were talking about a young girl. And this young girl goes out into her backyard to play. And what ends up happening is she slips into like a thorn bush or a rose bush or something, and ends up getting a thorn in her side, ends up getting a thorn somewhere in her like kind of like belly or kind of, you know, rib cagey, you know, type of place. And she's so maybe not embarrassed, but for some reason, she chooses not to tell her mom about this. And also, it's so painful that she's too afraid to pull out this thorn. So she leaves it. And when she goes back inside, what she actually does is she wraps it up because, you know, she doesn't want it to get infected or get any worse or get any whatever. So this, you know, young child is, you know, goes out and plays again and realizes that, you know, the clothing that she's wearing is actually like snagging on this thorn. So she starts to wear just like baggier clothes, loose-fitting sweaters and all of this stuff. Meanwhile, just wrapping up this thorn. And what ends up happening is that, you know, all of the activities and things that she's choosing to do, you know, it's hard to lay on her side. So she starts to sleep on her back. It's hard to breathe deeply because of where this thorn is. And so she starts to adjust and change her breathing. It's hard to sit down and eat because of, you know, the way that the thorn presses into her side. So she starts to adjust that. The thorn, like I said, snags on clothing and things like that. And so, you know, she starts to wear like different clothing, more like loose fitting clothing, hoodies and sweaters and whatnot. And then before you know it, this young child is making all of these decisions, conscious or unconscious, around the protection of this thorn in her side. And I think that the analogy that Michael Singer is trying to draw here is that we do this as humans as well. We have these deep and latent pains and things, and then we try to put things around it as a way to protect and prevent us from feeling whatever that pain or that thing is. Now, very simply, obviously, if you're hearing this analogy, it would be so clear that if she just went to her mom or if she told somebody and said, hey, I got this thorn on my side, then perhaps that person would have helped to remove that thing. Maybe, you know, it could have been healed earlier. Maybe it could have, you know, avoided infection and things like that. And what I share with folks is that oftentimes the emotions that we feel are akin to, in this example, a loose-fitting sweater. It could be akin to the things that we wrap around our wounds to help to protect us from it, to help us to relieve the pain from it. When actuality, what's happening anyways is that thorn in our side is affecting all of the decisions and all of the things that we're doing in our life. And I think for folks who have felt massive fear, you know, throughout their life, I think that I hope that you're connecting on what I'm sharing here, that fear is going to show up in your life anyways. Now the tool that it is, whether it's you know, coming from an intuitive place, giving you a warning sign, or whether it's been this protective wrapping that you've been putting around your wounds to prevent that stuff from ever happening again, I think that's really dependent on who you are. I think it depends on your life circumstances and conditions. And it's likely impacted your life in a lot of different ways. And so one of the takeaways in you know, the conversation that I had with this individual was really trying to express that you get to choose whether to address fear through a psychedelic experience or not. Psychedelics are a way, I think, of addressing fear. Or, you know, a lot of different internal things that are going on with you. But I wanted to really break down the conditionality for this individual to say that, hey, like, yes, this can be a really interesting pathway and tool. However, fear is showing up in your life anyways, and likely what's going to happen is you are going to continue to have opportunities to confront this fear. And you will also continue to probably have fear impact your life in a lot of different ways. And so what I was trying to do a little bit is almost like break down the focus and attention, or almost this fake conditionality that if I don't move forward in the psychedelic experience to address my fear, then I'm going to lose an opportunity to ever do that. I just think that that's false. I don't think that that's true. You know, if you listen back on an episode we did, I think a couple of weeks ago, where we were talking about choosing to microdose or macrodose psychedelics, you know, something that I was sharing was that microdosing and macrodosing are two paths on the same trail. And, you know, I bring that, you know, kind of wisdom into this conversation to say there's a lot of different ways that we can address our things in this conversation, fear and how it impacts our life and our future decisions. And I think that what I was feeling from this individual was that, am I being a coward, you know, by not wanting to move forward in a psychedelic experience? Am I running away from my problems? I've been doing all this, you know, work and so on and so forth. And one thing that I asked this individual, and I, you know, would ask the audience here is, well, it depends. How stable and resilient are you feeling right now to address fear through a psychedelic experience? Do you have support around you? Do you have time that you can take off of work or major responsibilities in the case that the psychedelic experience might destabilize you? In the case that your life continues to be turbulent and tumultuous? And so, you know, what I was trying to do is like break down this false conditionality and say, hey, there's just more to this decision than whether you're being a wuss and running away from a psychedelic experience due to fear or not. That's not the right way to think about it. Sometimes in psychedelic experiences, I found folks actually have their fear and anxiety exacerbated. Now, my general belief around this is that as these emotions and things rise up to the surface, there can be a very cathartic release process as these things rise up to the surface of our consciousness. Oftentimes, we can work with them a little bit more and possibly move through a place of releasing. Again, also reminded of the psychedelic experience that I just had, you know, a couple of days ago, and it was a really potent and powerful experience. But what I'll share in the context of this conversation was there was this moment where I felt like there was almost this like this is going to sound a little silly, of course, but this is kind of the nature of psychedelics, where I felt like there was almost this like astral surgery happening. And at one part, there was this thing that was extracted from my being, and it was actually being extracted like through kind of like my heart and chest space. It was very interesting because I had my friend, a very close friend there, you know, sitting with me. I had like my eyes covered and I was like under a weighted blanket. And what was actually fascinating to me was that thing that was extracted, you know, I was shifting through tears of joy, tears of grief, laughter, crying, sorrow, pain, hopefulness, passion. It was literally like I was shifting through. I wasn't even shifting. I was feeling and experiencing all of these emotions simultaneously. And that was a part of what was getting extracted out of my being. Now, I was thinking about, you know, being a facilitator in, and then sitting as a journeyer, and then thinking about, you know, my friend who was there supporting me. I was like, this is probably really hard for them to tell how much of this is fear or joy or tears and whatever. And it's this constant reminder for me that actually all of these emotions are just a razor line hair different from each other. And I actually will share with folks that joy and happiness is actually much closer to pain and sorrow and fear than you would think. And I've had this in psychedelic experiences. So what I'm sharing here is that sometimes in psychedelic experiences, the feelings that we are going in and intending to want to do away with and banish and get out of our system forever, those things actually show up more strongly. And I'll tell you that even after probably likely, you know, 100 plus psychedelic experiences, that I wouldn't tell you that I ever fully got rid of my fear or my shame or my grief. Again, those things are really useful in the right context in my life, right? So I share with folks that if you are coming in wanting to remove fear or get rid of fear, and then you have a psychedelic experience that heightens fear, well, then it can be really easy to feel like a failure. And what I share with folks is that this is a much more complex process of that. This, to me, is about how do you come into relationship, the right relationship again, as I said earlier, to your emotions, fear being the one that we're talking about today. And I'll also, you know, admit and share with folks that sometimes people get a massive relief from their fear. I think that folks who generally deal with fear on a regular basis, that puts quite a strain and a wear on your nervous system when you are in this constant, like, you know, survival mode or, you know, heightened sensory mode. And I've also seen folks, you know, actually feel some relief from their fear. Really hard to predict what type of experience comes up, you know, for you. But I think, you know, what's important here is to think about, okay, do I have the capability to do some heavy lifting right now? Is it the right season in my life right now to do this heavy lifting? Or is it okay for me to step back from this and get a little bit of a relief and get a little bit of a break, however that looks for you? Whether that's returning to normal life, whether you are taking medications or thinking about going on medication or thinking about changing medication. I'm a huge proponent that you know your body and your mind and you're being the best. So you are the best advocate for yourself for making those really important decisions. And I think that what I was trying to break down for this individual is that, you know, there is always a possibility of returning back to a psychedelic experience when it feels, you know, right for them. So, you know, a lot of what I was talking about is taking the pressure off of ceremony and also taking a lot of undue pressure off of yourself, because when we are feeling these emotions, we also create paradigms and systems around this. We also create beliefs around this. We also create, you know, conditionality around this. We also create stories around this. If I don't address my fear through psychedelics in this upcoming experience, which I only have a short window to do, and if I don't do it in this period of time, then I'll never be able to return back to a psychedelic experience. And then also this is telling me that I'm a coward and that I'm running away from fear. So that means that fear has taken over my life again, and woe is me, and here I am. That is a really hard place for folks to be in. And you can hear through my example that a lot of that stuff is created by our mechanisms on how we manage these feelings and emotions. So I'm not saying that that what I just, you know, spoke to isn't valid. What I'm saying is that that puts a lot of pressure on you as an individual. And what I share with a lot of folks generally is that folks are doing much better than they think that they are, especially when they are addressing these deep, uncomfortable, sticky things, you know, in their life. So taking that undue pressure off of yourself, taking that pressure off of ceremony, exploring that, you know, conditionality and really asking yourself and dissecting, like, well, what is actually true in this situation can actually help to, you know, what I call remove the static or remove the noise, or as my great friend Rev says, to take your focus off of the sideshow. Usually there's these almost like, I imagine, like, you know, carnival attractions, these sideshows within us that actually take a lot of our attention from the actual matter at hand that we want to address. So if I'm hyperfixated on, for example, well, I'm thinking about going and trying a new medication, which is something that I'm actually, you know, considering, I'm thinking about doing. Okay, I'm thinking about trying a new medication. And if I'm doing that in a month, then that means that I have a month to decide whether I'm going to have, you know, a psychedelic experience. And then am I being a wuss for, you know, not moving into a psychedelic experience? And then I get so fixated on that sideshow, that I actually get so distracted from this larger thing of, what is my intuition telling me? And so a part of, you know, how to tell whether fear is in service to you or not, in the context of making a decision of, you know, let's say moving forward in the psychedelic experience, or I think this is applicable in an integration, you know, context as well, to remove the static and the noise so that you can get a little bit clearer on what it actually is that is bringing up the stuff for you. And then, you know, the other thing that I was, you know, sharing with just folks in general when they're feeling emotions is I always ask them like where they feel it in their body. And oftentimes when folks are feeling whatever that feeling is, like more like cerebrally, more in their head, I just always have a healthy measure of skepticism around whether that emotion is in service to them or not. Now, it may be. I don't know these folks' lives, and I don't know everything about them, and I'm not them, and I don't know their feelings and emotions. But when people feel it in their gut, when people feel things in their belly, when people feel things a little bit more viscerally, I'm like, ah, okay. The body has a really hard time, you know, lying to you as far as the feelings and things, you know, coming up. And so, you know, as we were dissecting this all down, you know, in conversation, I think it just to like distill this conversation for our audience here, I think it was first and foremost having a conversation around fear and emotions and the role that it plays, you know, in individuals' lives. I think having some type of a framework to be able to observe and have in your awareness what things are sideshows of conditionalities, what things are illusions that keep you in the gripped seat of, you know, let's say indecisiveness and fear. And I also think just kind of relieving the pressure, I think, off of ceremony and psychedelics to do all the work for you, and also the pressure off of yourself. Now, I'll also say that there are plenty of folks who are extremely desperate. There are plenty of folks who have been suffering for a very long time. And though I really acknowledge and honor that you're probably feeling desperate for very valid reasons, I share with folks that desperation moving into psychedelic experiences is a very, very wieldy process. Wieldy meaning that it's like a really intricate tool. Like, you know, I share with folks that if you picked up a samurai sword on your first day, and you didn't know what you were doing, and you started swinging that thing around, there's probably a percent chance that you might hurt yourself. But if you've been practicing the skills and the tools and the ability to hold a wieldy tool like that in this situation, coming into a psychedelic experience with desperation, it just requires, I think, a higher sense of care when it comes to those things. And so, you know, we spoke through a couple of different things as well. Like, you know, I talked about potentially microdosing as I do, you know, with folks. I talked about what's going on in this person's life and picking and choosing, you know, what might be right for them. And I hope that bringing any of this conversation into a podcast episode for you all has been helpful. My number one piece is, and that I'm very, you know, happy and grateful that this individual did, is they reached out for support. They reached out for various opinions. They tried to do a little bit of their own research to see, okay, what makes sense for me and what's right for me and what can I do in my own empowerment of making this decision. So a lot of thanks to that individual. A lot of thanks to you all for listening to this episode here. That wraps us up for this week. And, you know, before we go, I'll take a moment to read a review here. So this was a consultation call review, and it says, it was uplifting to speak with somebody who could validate our quest for anxiety relief for our son in a currently less conventional field. Thank you, and we are looking forward to seeing the resources and the articles that you're going to send along. So thank you to all of the folks who reach out to us, who book the consult calls, who get to talk to our amazing, you know, concierge team, who reach out to us in email. This is the stuff that matters as far as the mission of what we do here at Psychedelic Passage. And it's just so grateful, so grateful to have a direct contact. And, you know, the ability to speak to these folks directly in a way that might help them. We've also been really able to engage and expand in our YouTube and Reddit communities and conversations. So if you are interested, you can check out the links there in the show description. And that wraps up this episode here this week. So thank you all so much to all of our listeners and our community. And we look forward to seeing you next week. I am excited to share a new offering that can be found on our website, psychedelicpassage.com, which is our digital store. We here at Psychedelic Passage are constantly thinking about ways to enrich the intentional psychedelic process for our community. And now with this digital store, you'll be able to find preparation guides, integration guides, and recorded workshops that are typically only available to our clients. We hope that this is an exciting offering, and we look forward to adding more content over time. So check out the link in the episode description below, or visit our website, psychedelicpassage.com. And we are very excited to expand our service offerings to the greater community.